I have a cold open. Worked out perfectly. What is the best season one of television that you've ever seen?
Lost.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, Lost, Ozark's up there. But I think a show that started with a bang and never let off the gas was Lost. I think it's like the perfect opening season of any show because there's so much. If we're just looking at it from like, we talk Sopranos as well was really good, but like The Wire, no. Like The Wire's good, but there's I quit after two seasons, so that's a whole nother argument. But like I see the slowness in a lot of these shows. Like Ozark even had a little bit of slow, but I thought Ozark had maybe the best pilot of all time, in my opinion. But it's Lost. It's just the show grabs you in like literally Heroes. I'm just trying to think like shows off the top of my head that I thought season ones were like, holy cow.
Breaking Bad season one isn't that good.
No, it's another one. It's kind of slow. Like obviously the obvious ones we talked about before, Seinfeld, Simpsons, Family. Well, Family Guy's actually pretty good, but
not bad.
Like, they're tough. First seasons are really rough for a lot of shows. What do you
I will say for sitcom wise, I think one of the best first seasons of all time is Modern Family.
Even Big Bang.
No, just ask one of my uncles. No, but I think the first season of Modern Family is probably one of the best first seasons of comedy. The first episode's fucking hysterical, and all the characters are pretty well formed. I feel like they might have had a few episodes under their belt even before then, and then like released that as the pilot because it was really well constructed. And you're gonna hate this answer, but I'm gonna go Severance right now. Love it. Seen it three times already.
Well, so.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted. Get yourself addicted.
Welcome into the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. We follow along all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. And with, in our social media platform for just this show, you can follow at Pop Culture PD. And if you do, it'll instantly make you severanced. If you want to do that. I'm going to talk about something who definitely needs to be severanced. But we are a little... Severed. Yeah, that throws me off too. And for the longest time, I thought the show was like, because I'm so dumb, I was like calling it Surveillance because I'm just an idiot. When I read things, I just assume because I'm not educated. Speaking about someone who's educated, he is my tag team partner here in the podcast sphere. He can be followed along on Twitter at BillyYee2411, but you know him better as that bully on Twitter, the guy who gets kicked off. He's a bad boy. He's fully gone heel in 2022. The world's gotten better and Billy's gotten worse, but he is Billy D. What's going on, man?
Hello. Yeah, I broke bad. And, you know, Patriots draft is a good feeding ground for that. But yeah, we are here to talk about tease it in the open. Recency bias, Billy standing tall, but I loved this fucking season of television.
Yeah, we're going to talk all about theories when it comes to Severance, because if you clicked on play on this podcast, first of all, thank you. A 5-star review on iTunes wouldn't hurt you. You can leave spite reviews. We'll get to what that means in a few moments. But I really do appreciate you. You've clearly either watch or have some form of interest in the show Severance, which was a Apple TV Plus television show that ran for 9 weeks. Weekly releases. We'll get to why that's important later on the podcast as well. But we are really – Billy was on with Dork about 3 weeks ago.
Probably.
Right,
three
as the,
weeks ago, yeah.
Right as the show ended. I think it was the weekend of the finale. Billy did a Lost Season 1-esque binge of a television show over a two-day period. Him and Keith broke the show down really well. So you can go back and listen to Dork featuring the guy right here, Billy D. Also, Mac and Goo did – a podcast about the show as well.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was like mixed doubles. It was me and Keith, and then it was Keith, Davey, and Mac.
Mac, yeah, without Goo. I think it's the first time I've listened to Mac and Goo without Goo.
I think there are two other Mac and himself.
Mac and Friends?
Mac and Friends.
Yeah, either way, go back and listen to both of those podcasts to kind of give you more of a deeper dive into the full program. We're going to really look at it from a theory standpoint while hitting on all of the points as well. Yeah. We'll get to that in a moment. Our podcast is the music's brought to you by Oh Yeah. We have merch you can check out over at TeePublic. You can also check out our non-sponsor, Frank Says Hi, by checking out franksayshi.com. For those of you who have been kind of waiting to announce this, For those of you that are watching on the YouTubes, the Twitter, wherever we're pushed out content-wise, you may have noticed my hair is an absolute mop. Like never seen it. Actually, oddly, and maybe I'm being self-conscious, like kind of looks good in a weird way recently. Though certain times it looked real rough. But officially, June 5th, the return of the Buzz Off, which I have done and been a part of hosting for the last 7 years, is back at Gillette Stadium, Sunday, June 5th. You can get in, you can shave your head for your kids with cancer. I'll be doing it this year. The Patriots representative used to be Gronk. As you know, he's no longer with the Patriots. It is Matt Judon.
Okay.
Matt Judon will be there doing his little sack, wipe the sweat off his brow dance. But yeah, so that'll be happening. So I'll be shaving my head. We'll probably give you some information if you want to help donate. You can throw some Spite Bucks that way. I don't know, maybe a better place, but we can get to that in a moment as well. But you can check out again. All jokes aside, all kidding aside, buzzforkids.org is there. If you want to do it too, like if you've had some, I don't know, you want to call it pandemic hair, if that's still a word. I don't know if we're going to get thrown off YouTube. But if you got some hair or you just want to see what you look like, beautiful and bald, do it for the kids. You can do that or you can support those that are doing it. And I'm going to look very different in a little over a month's time. Speaking of things in a month's time, Bill, we'll be at a wedding a month from today.
Yes, you're going to have to style that mane for a wedding.
So that's the funny part. I've talked to the mutual friend of ours, a wedding I'll be performing, about my hair. And I said, you want me to do something like wacky? I'm going to shave it 2 days later. I'll do whatever you want. And I don't know. That's still an ongoing conversation. But yeah, I'm definitely going to have to tease and tame, Bill.
Mm. Yeah, I'm growing mine out too. So I'm trying to decide if I get like a little trim, you know, fix it up a little bit for the wedding or just keep letting it roll.
Mullet.
I'm going for that CM Punk just slick back look.
It's not pushback, though. It's slick.
Slick back, yeah, because I'm still a piece of shit.
You become one, I guess, in some odd ways. But yes, so that's going to be happening. We can check that stuff out again. But appreciate you being there. And obviously, if you found us in one place, you can find us everywhere podcasts are. And a shout out to our India fans over on the Ghana platform. We have those 2 listeners per week, and it's still going. So consistent. Gotta love it. But Bill, let's start off this week by talking about our friends in the DSG, which we are a part of. You can check out, obviously, Mac and Goo we talked about. Obviously, our guys over at Change My Mind. I think you talk a lot about them, talking mostly about hockey equipment, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Big time hockey supporters.
Billy's Josh other tracks, if you will. Billy's other podcast, the I've Heard It Both Ways, which, by the way, you guys have gotten some heat recently about the name. Like, out of nowhere, people recognize that was a podcast before. Like,
yeah, they got like 4 episodes that haven't been active in like 6 years. We got to, yeah. I mean, we talked about that. In hindsight, we became the Pineapple Boys pretty quickly. So if we need to rebrand, we're all good.
No, you don't need to. You are, see, the best part about you guys is you have multiple tier nicknames. Like, every good wrestler, you have multiple aliases. But I just found it funny how, like, now they just found out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just, like, when we talked about, I remember you and Doc talking about this when you guys launched a podcast.
Yeah, we saw it.
What was that, two years ago almost?
Probably close. No, probably a little over like 14 months.
Okay. Either way. But yeah, so, but you guys are on there, obviously Dork, and I think that covers my, and anybody streaming. The point here is Dork did their podcast this week on the topic of Doctor Strange. And they discussed at one point last week, you brought to my attention that Davey got Mario Kart back.
Because I had brought up the fact that I got smoked in Mario Kart.
Correct. And Davey was back on. And you had mentioned how they were raising money through listeners, sending $1 a piece. And I was, in their opinion, floored. And Keith somehow said, like, I was mad at him. I don't really care who. I'm not mad at anybody. I just think it's embarrassing. But to his point, no, I do. But to Davey and Keith's point, here's the good positive of it. If you're going to turn it into content, do whatever you want. Ask everybody for $100 for all I care.
Yeah.
As long as it's content driven. If you're just being like handout city, like, hey, I lost a cartridge, which, listen, I have a kid. My kids aren't as old as this, so I can only imagine what I'm in store for. My kid's a wild child. So he's probably going to eat like the Switch cartridges thinking it's like a tortellini or something. But my point was, one thing they brought up that stood out to me. They talked about Patreons, right?
Yes.
They should do a Patreon. You have a following that just sent you at least $120. And if you were to charge $3 a month and you guys did one extra pod or two extra pods or did like listener roundtables, that's genius. Yeah. They were like, no, we'll never do a Patreon. Like, you're asking them for $1, but you wouldn't give more content for $3? I guarantee that would be a hit for them. I think it's a genius idea. So I implore them to do that and not beg, borrow, and steal like a bum on the side of the road for a buck. They're over there like nickel dime. You guys want to help me out? I got to get
my money. I'm staying out of this one.
Oh, you don't have to. I don't really care. You know him. You know you're thinking the same thing. But don't you think the Patreon in general, though, what a genius idea. They have, if their following proved that they gave them over $120 and now they were going to give them more to spite me, which I'm all about that, turn it into something. That's an amazing idea.
Yeah, I don't know if like that's something you can you do that if you have a podcast that's coupled up with like a radio station? I don't know.
Oh, that place, I have no idea. They're probably they'll probably pull some bull crap. But technically, if he does it, if it's nothing to do with the affiliation of the radio station, yeah, he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, I'm all about making money. I mean, me and Goo are making a little side cash on That's Junkie, so go visit that over on tpublic.merch. Or no.
Yeah, and here's another. I'll throw another bullet out because, you know, Goo's the one who tipped him off anyways. Goo shouldn't make any of that money. You should make it all. What does he do? What, does he come up with an idea?
Well, he does, and he promotes it on a bigger podcast.
Oh, okay. Fair. All right, there we go. I'm going to sit back down in my chair. Now they can rip me next week in undefensible way and just say it in a way that people won't hear me, so they'll just do it. But if you want to send Spike Bucks to Dork, I don't know what their Venmo is. Send away, by all means. How about this? For every Spite buck you send their way, send a dollar to the Buzz Off for Kids with Cancer, you heartless bastards.
Huh? Or maybe they could just donate it.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, send a dollar one way, send a dollar the other way.
Yeah.
So if you want to spend Spite Bucks to Dork, by all means, I'm not going to capitalize on it. Send it to charity.
All I know is, either way, we created 9 minutes of content out of that, and I believe they got 9 minutes of content out of you. So Rossi's horrible takes, never going anywhere.
No, it might only be flaring up. And I'll just end my last, this is like Rossi rant to start this podcast. Maddie in the Morning, a staple here in Boston, announces retirement.
Since I've been like six?
Bill, he's been before you were born, dude. 41 years on air as Maddie in the Morning. Obviously, it started in BCN. He was obviously a DJ, just like Lauren and Wally a few years ago. And I'll keep this short for now because this stuff grinds my gears through and through. It's almost like I'm thankful I don't do half of the stuff I used to because I just care so much about the dumb, like, things nobody else cares about, like listeners. But he announced his retirement today, a pre-recorded thing. I know he's been in Florida for years, but he's done. So Maddie in the Morning retires, just no pop circumstance. In an industry that literally had 2 years of no, like, struggled, like all industries, right, Bill? Like, everybody had a hard time. All they had to do, and guess what? If he's a piece of crap, which I hear, that's fine. Then do it 6 months ago. Do it in the beginning of January. Have a month of like Maddie's farewell tour. You could make tons of money off your sponsors. Your ratings would be through the roof and it would lead you into your new show, which I assume is going to be like Billy Costa show or something to that degree. Like, it's that simple. Lauren and Wally did the same goddamn thing to these guys over a year ago where Wally departed years before. Lauren was still going. One Tuesday, they tell him he's done. Friday, he doesn't get pomp and circumstance. He just says Friday morning, today is going to be our last show. The thing that kills me is these listeners.
Wait,
like,
Lauren's a dude?
Yes, Lauren Mike Owens. Yeah, Lauren Michaels is a different dude. But he was a dude. Crazy, right? So
I remember my dad had a Maddie in the Morning t-shirt I would wear every once in a while.
Oh, I'm sure you did. Like, that dude's huge. Like, a staple. Like, there's only like probably like 30 morning shows I've ever had that like huge legacy, like huge. I'm talking across country. Yeah. But yeah, so I just think like when you think of your listeners, like I'm a big WWE fan, as you all know at this point, that when wrestlers get like, so like there was another mass release recently and there's people in storylines. So if you're just watching and you don't care about reading the internet, like one day there's a guy in a story you're watching and then the next week he's not there and they never talk about him again. Like, that's what happens in radio. And it's so dumb. All you have to do is tip your people off and give them a farewell tour. I don't care if Maddie goes on the air and swears. Like, bleep it out. It would make more ratings and more people would listen. I just think this is insane.
It's like the hairdresser world. I didn't know that. My sister, like, when you leave a hairdresser job, you just leave at the end of the day. You don't, like, give them 2 weeks. You just peace.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
I guess makes sense. Like, especially if you're just going to, like, another place, right?
Yeah.
No contracts there. But anyways, I just think that sucks. And I think it sucks for the listener and people that literally, Maddie in the Morning is the one person I can think of that like, you probably got driven to school like listening to that show.
If my mom was driving, yeah.
In your, well, yes. In your mom at one point was probably either driven to school or like when she was younger, listened to Maddie in the Morning at some point.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like he's a generational, especially on a top 40 pop station. It's a little different than a classic rock. It's different than a country. It's like, this is a guy that literally was been ingrained in this area and all these listeners, literally maybe a billion ears have heard him. How many, is there more doors, Bill, or wheels? Is there more ears or mouths? Doesn't matter. The point being is people heard this guy so much.
There's more ears, by the way.
Yeah, duh. That was pretty stupid. or nostrils, Bill. Is there more? How many holes are there in the body? No, but I don't know. It just bothers me. It's just it just got to me. It made me pissed when I saw it. And again, the guy could be a dirtbag and did something wrong too. So I get it, but
yeah, never know.
F him, Bill. But man, in the morning, just done. Blink of an eye. Imagine the pop culture pile driver after all these billions of people listen to us. Just one day, just done.
Hey, what is it? I think I've heard it both ways. It's up to like 10th out.
Yeah. Also, it happened to MCU at Home or whatever they were calling that podcast.
Yeah. See you later. Just peaced out.
Do we know why that ended?
I think they just got sick of doing it.
That's fair. It's fair. It's a lot to put it together. But anyways, all right. Let's get to Severance. I feel like I just severed half of the people listening. So, Bill, this was a show. Obviously, we talked about it. You binged in a very quick form, but you watched twice over since, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the show itself, if you were to put it in like, you know, a short overall look, how would you describe the show to somebody? And what would you say like is the overall impact from watching it?
All right. So this is what we touched upon. And I think they touched upon in the other podcast too. It's tough to describe this without giving anything away. If I were to give you my elevator pitch, pun intended here, it's you go to work and you don't remember anything about the rest of your life. Like you literally have amnesia at work and then you don't get to take those memories home. And then they don't like you're just literally two separate people. And the other key thing that I would say is the person who's at work is constantly in a loop of work. Your outie gets to go to sleep and feel sleep, get up and go to work. Your innie is just like ping ponging in between the elevator for its entire life.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Bill. I know you asked Keith how much money. Forget about money. Is there any circumstance you would do this?
I don't, it would have to be maybe like jail. I don't know.
Fair.
Have to go to jail and like you could sever me and like my whole life as a innie on the inside. I didn't have to remember. Sure. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But I don't know if like that would work because, well, the other thing I want to tackle is the pregnant woman and we'll get to that when we get there. So maybe it would work, but yeah, I would do it for jail. Or any other circumstance, though, where you have to go in, you're still living with the problem for 16 hours, 8 of them waking. So there's no scenario I see where this is worth it unless your job you legitimately hate and you can't get out of, but every job you can get out of. So it would literally have to be slavery.
Yeah, something where like, yeah, like no matter – or just something where you need to not be you, but you don't want to like get real dark like – you know, yourself or anything like that. So I don't know. I think it'd have to be something super dramatic, but you know, the trauma, like the reason we know Mark is in there, his wife died and that's the reason he's in there. He's really the only one the people we truly know the reason they're in there is Mark is because like his wife died and mm-hmm. didn't deal with it. Helly, we come to find out that she is basically seems like she's like the future of this company. And so she's
kind of doing it to prove herself and to make it so severance can be legalized worldwide.
Yeah. And I'll add to that theory here, first one in a way. I think she's doing it to bring it to like a high society that this doesn't have to be all like low, like I don't mean
worker bees,
middle class. Yeah. Like depressed or there's some sort of issues with you. So I think she's really like taking on the mantle of this company and saying, like, I'm the so one day I'll be the CEO and I'm also severed. And like, it's amazing in there. And I thought, you know, that's why she's in there. Irving, we don't really know. I have some theories, which I can dive into now or we can get to after.
Let's just start ripping through them. Right.
So for me, I think Irving, when we saw him at home painting to Ace of Spades, which I'm trying to figure out what that song has to do with it. Because usually it's like, are they like MCU in a way where like the music kind of has like an undertone to it?
I think everything is purposely put in here That might just be that one specifically may just be a little bit like you didn't expect Irv to be hardcore because of the way he presents himself inside. You're expecting classical music, but maybe it's like, hey, this guy's a badass. He was in, at least his dad was in the military. And I think that to me is the interesting thing about Irv is that inside he's a rule follower. And I think on the outside, he's a rule follower, but he's trying to get to the bottom of Severance because he doesn't believe in Severance. So I think that's where he's similar, even though he's completely opposite from what it seems like inside.
Yeah, so here's my theory on it. So watching that final two episodes when we get to see a little bit more of his outie, is that we see his dad clearly was in the military, but there's more medals around, unless he's just like, like most military families, like was just traveled around and like really has admires his dad. I think Irv may have been in the military as well.
Yeah, I do too, because he seems like when he's there, he's dressed like a, a war vet. Yeah.
And he's a listener and he tries to like rally people a little bit around like the messages of Kerr and the book of Kerr that he's reading.
Kier.
Sorry. I'm going to always do that. Like Kerr Smith, a little heartthrob from the 90s. Kerr. We can go through all the Kerrs. I think that's it. So my theory on him is that he was in the military. And since we know that being severed has been going on for a lot longer before this Lumen project, if you will, my guess is that one of two things. One, they were, you know, doing this to people in the army, to the military, maybe to just when they go out, they just are trained killers, like people in certain special ops or whatever. Like when you saw his dad and you saw some of the medals, those are like your Purple Heart-ish esque looking medals. So I wonder if he was severed as a part of that to, you know, achieve the things he did.
Well, because he's seen the inside of it before because he's painting the elevator that Miss Casey went down. So that could be.
Yeah. So that's another part we'll get part of this theory. The other one could be, he maybe was in war and just is simply like a PTSD and he can't deal with it. Yeah. So he paints. So when we see him in the outside world, he's lonely-ish, it looks. He just paints in this room because I think clearly he has blended mind, right? Like his innie and outie somehow.
Well, because he also dreams. His dreams are the paint coming through. You see it on his fingers. You see it coming around his desk. And I think that's why they don't want the innie to dream, is because they can connect things if they sleep inside of there. So that's, and I'll just get into my numbers theory that our buddy Kev kind of, I think, pretty much came up with, but now I'm going to take it to another level, is they're deleting their memories. So those numbers correspond to a date, and that date makes them feel a certain way about that memory. So they take it, they group it, and they delete it, and they're deleting it out of their brain. Because I think what the goal of being severed is to introduce them back into the world without any of that in their brain anywhere to trigger anything. Because I think, and I'll just keep going here for a second. So when they do the wellness check, those are real-ish things to a degree, because Irv says he likes the sound of radar. Radar is his dog. That's not a coincidence. That's definitely on purpose. My thing is, one, did they fill out a survey at the beginning when they got hired? Like, give us stuff to tell your innie to make them feel good, or are they all being spied on? I'd put my money on spied on, but maybe some of them aren't as heavily spied on, because with Mark and Miss Casey, they're definitely grouping them together to see the effects of severance, right? To see if a husband can recognize his dead wife inside of the building if they're both severed, or if like she's a fucking zombie person that's like living on the property the whole time, which she is. You know, like, I think that's what they're doing with those numbers, is deleting stuff out of them.
Fascinating. Okay, so a couple things to hit on. First, the numbers theory one. I didn't think of that, but when you think, when to go to your point, the whole, like, when they explain to Heliar that, oh, the number, like, they scare you or something, right? Isn't that, like, the term they use?
Like, yeah, some of them are scary. Some of them are, like, there's four of them, and there's the four things of Kier that he believes make up all people. So I think he's deleting those out of the people.
That's a pretty good one, because I didn't think of it that way. I thought it was either recruiting, something to do with like a functionality of like when you're in there, the way your mind thinks, like to recruit like a certain, maybe it's social security numbers, maybe it's something, but I kind of like that theory. But I guess the question would be, how would you delete? Is it like when they go through the elevators and they come back, like certain things just like start to wipe out?
Well, that thing's connected to your brain, that chip. Yeah. So maybe that computer is the connected chip to the chip. Yeah. And it's just like filtering in, or maybe it's storing it somewhere else. But I think that's the whole, that's my theory.
Yeah.
The best theory I can come up with on the numbers.
I like that. Going back to Herb real
quick.
Shout
out to our buddy Kev, who pretty much like, I took it to the point of like, they're deleting like their, like that's the goal of it. But he came up with the idea that they're probably deleting their feelings or memories.
And dates being the numbers is interesting. I didn't know Kev watched a show. Mm-hmm. I just won my last thing on Irv, and then I'll jump back into the, what you where like being observed, which is interesting. You did mention kind of like how I think he is connected with Petey outside and yes. the woman that murdered the security guard. I think that there is some interconnection there because they're trying to reverse the like Petey actually pulled off for at least a certain amount of time before he croaked. Mm-hmm. You know, the reversing of being severed. And I think what's happening with Irv is he doesn't want to go that far yet because he believe I'm guessing his outside like believes he can do this like without getting rid of the chip. And that's where go back to what you said about him painting, like he has certain memories and thoughts of being in there that bleeds out. So I think he's going to be a little bit more of a factor, especially we talked a little bit about this before we start recording, like his big finale at the end, his cliffhanger is he's about to go click on knock on the door, Bert G, but he thinks he's the severed version. But I think we already know he knows where he is based on his papers. Mm-hmm. So when he that conversation that he and Audi Irv and Audi Bert G are about to have is probably gonna be very fascinating because they're probably both working on something to do with the either a bigger picture with Severance or a bigger picture with Lumen.
By the way, quick something on the show when he goes, "You smug motherfucker, I died."
He John Turturro in general, like what a
underrated for me, I think, in my viewing of him until recently, because he was pretty good in The Batman. He's phenomenal in this.
Oh, he's in The Batman?
Yeah, he's I think he's like the Carmine Falcone, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he's Falcone in this. Oh, I've not still not seen The Batman. Every time I go to play it, I see 3+ hours. I'm like, oh baby. We'll get there. For me, John Turturro, obviously Mr. Deeds, like, come on, like just absolutely outstanding. And then he was really good in a show called was it The Night Of that he played? It was actually supposed to be James Gandolfini, but he died and John Turturro took his place. It's a very fascinating and very good show that was on HBO about 5-6 years down ago. But going, and then your other thing, like being observed, the one thing that's most fascinating to me where Mark and why can't I think of her name, who's Patricia Arquette's character?
Miss Cobell.
Miss Cobell, where they live. I thought for sure that was some sort of commune where all the people that are severed lived. Mm-hmm. Because I think, but then it makes more sense why it isn't, because like, I don't think they want you to necessarily know like, oh, these are people I also go to this thing with. But I thought at one point, didn't they say, or like, didn't he say to his sister or his brother-in-law?
He said it to the date. It's subsidized housing. But I think maybe they just own the property and then they can get the people if they work as a severed worker, they can get them maybe a discount on the housing.
Makes sense. And there's another reason to do it on this market. But that I think is very fascinating too, because I'm wondering, we only see those two in that neighborhood, by the way. So we don't know.
Well, he said, yeah, it didn't really fill up. So
yeah, because remember Petey's like, who lives next door? And he's like, oh, that one's empty. Mm-hmm. So it makes me wonder if there is something more to that. And obviously, it's a television show. Obviously, Mark is made to look special. So there's probably, I think going back to your point with him, and I think Gemma was his actual wife's name. Mm-hmm. Like once that situation happened, he must, like that's where I don't know if there was a recruitment, but there's something about why he lives there and why nobody else really lives around him aside from her is she already took him on as a project. Like,
because Irv seems to live in a house in, yes. You know, like a regular street, not like a community, like a, you know, kind of where you used to live in, yep. In like a big apartment complex with multiple apartment complexes within. But just to go to Cobell real quick, because her relationship with, and by the way, I found this out too, and it's not even on the IMDb. Milchek's first name is said in the episodes once by her. His first name is Seth.
Oh,
he says it right when he the final wellness check before Miss Casey. She's like, Seth, I know it's been a tough quarter. And I looked up everybody's name to see if there's any linkage, because Helly's definitely is, because Helena means light outside and hell, obviously. You know what that means. But yep. Seth is appointed. That's what Seth means. And I think that he is not working there willingly. There's got to be something that ties him to work like that nonstop. He can leave, obviously, but either he's like a severed worker, either his wife is another one of those people on that floor. You know what I mean? That like he's hoping he can interact with her someday. And I think that's kind of the same thing with Cobell. So their relationship is really interesting because they obviously don't like each other, but they do a little gamesmanship. Like when the first episode, when Milchick is walking Mark to the office, he says, compliment her on her office. I know she'd really appreciate that. And she didn't because she got moved to a smaller office. Yes. So Milchick is giving her the business, which I love.
So yeah, his like those two, we said like, at least we got a little bit more of Miss Cobell because like, she has like a worship of Kier.
You want my theory on that real quick?
Please.
I think she is a bastard offspring of one of the former like CEOs. Because obviously, if the Waffle Party is what the Waffle Party is, those guys are getting busy, you know? So I'm thinking that she is a bastard offspring, probably not of Kier himself, but maybe Jane. Like
one of the people we saw that whole wing of all the family there, and clearly, and that's a whole nother thing. There's got to be something about like reincarnation or keeping spirits alive, a little Ted Williams-esque frozenness, because I think that could also be something to do with the numbers, like placing things to get them back to life. Because when you do a complete, think about this real quick, when you complete those, the work, Kier's like, thank you for doing this, like you're helping the bigger picture, like maybe not just eliminating your thoughts. Obviously, the whole point of this, I think, is like to get everybody on the same page. Like, we live in a world where obviously work, we are different people at work. It's factual. We all are little bit. Mm-hmm. We play roles. We do tasks we don't necessarily want to do, but we do them to get paid. Then the other part of this is like, we are living the most, you know, and nobody agrees on anything. We purposely like argue with each other. So I wonder if this is also the bigger picture is like, get everybody in one mindset, get everybody in one position.
This is definitely a cult type thing. And the other thing too about, Jane Egan, her dad, he's clearly fucking really old. Like, he looks like a ghost when you see him. He's
Is that his name?
Jane. I think James with no S, basically.
Yes.
And that has a meaning to it, too, if I can pull it up real quick. Let's see. Where is it? Prophet. So, whatever. But I think a couple of things with him. I think that he has a slightly different vision of what it was that, like, the original Egan, Kier Egan, had for this thing. I think his was a little, because Bert references at one point the first book and then the second book. So I think we have a little Old Testament, New Testament. The other thing that I realized too is when he's talking to Helly and he goes, I was in bed when I found out that you got strangled. I think like when the board's on the call, he's on the board. I think they're in some sort of like fucking Dracula chamber. Because like he seems almost too old to be alive. So I think that they're doing something with them.
I
like, preserve them.
Well, yeah, it could be that. Or I was
why would you say I found out when I was in bed?
Well, I was wondering if he was in Waffle Party.
Oh, could be.
Because maybe there's some like he was laying there with all of his people. First of all, two things, Bill. One, first, would you doubt like what Dylan, love him, very funny, very good character. The show had way more comedy than I we give it credit for. I heard you and Keith talk, like it's more than you guys even let on. Like
him and Milchick, and then him and
Milchick. Give me all the gifts of that.
That's fucking he amazing. He is phenomenal. Like it's tough to pick an MVP of the show. He might be the MVP.
Oh, MVP. Yeah, that's hard. It's like could we actually be Cobell because it's just the dynamicness to her character. But
or Rickon, Mark. The elusive one.
That's the one who dies, right?
No, Rickon.
Oh, who was the security guy?
Oh, it'll come to me. I forget his name.
But you know that he was hilarious because every time he came to her door, he was just something else. So also the Mark's little girlfriend there, she was actually pretty good too.
Yeah.
Also
midwife.
Just quick shout out, and we'll get to my waffle thing in a second. Mark, through all that, how strange is that woman? Phil, you need a woman like that. She didn't give two craps. She was like, bud, I'm coming back for more.
She was down to clown after two of the worst dates. It would have been two of the worst dates I'd been on.
Honestly. Anyway, so waffle party. Do you think you could down a big stack of waffles and then like what it looked like they were attempting to do allegedly? Like, could you get busy?
Oh, it's definitely sex. Like he was in.
Yeah, like an orgy. Like, could you do that? Like, do you think, is that your like pre?
I'd probably go light on the butter, but I think waffles is pretty light. I mean, those waffles were like, light. Those were like waffle maker waffles. If we're talking Eggo waffles, yeah, no problem.
Okay. That's an interesting battery choice. Ones,
probably not the best, but it's better than like Mexican food.
Yeah, true. Depending on what you're getting. Also, sound advice I heard in a podcast once, Bill, that you should do it before you go out to eat.
Poop or
no rip the sex.
Oh yeah.
So you know that's a big thing. They say like people nowadays like why would you go fill up and get all gnarly in your belly or be more hesitant to eat certain things when you want to do it later if you know what you're doing. At least again, not every time you just lined up that way. But anywho, going back to the waffle party scene, like that, like I truly that's one of the more baffling scenes too because you put on the mask of Kier. And you what? Like, is there an orgy about to break out? Who are these people? Are these some of these ghosty types? Because we'll get into this in a second. Like, are they just like, because who's willingly like, oh yeah, that's my role in this place? Or is that their severed? Like, yeah, it just, there's so many places. And like, we're just talking about what we saw with the numbers. Don't forget about what Bert G and his crew were doing. They had like weapons and stuff. Like, what was going on?
So, well, see, I think that the Bert G's people, they're being intentionally confused. They also had what looked like choking instructions, those cards.
Yes, there was choking. Like there was punching.
Yeah.
Don't take a card.
I think like you make a hatchet one week, you make a watering can another week, you make like a fucking hot dog press the next week. I think they're just intentionally confusing them like they did with the picture. But to your point about like who those people are, there's two people I really want to talk about that nobody's really addressed. One is the guy with the goats. So the goats I did see in one of the pictures when Birchie and Irv B are talking in the wellness thing. He's like going to like hit a goat in the picture. Yes. Fucking weird.
But that's Colin, real quick. That goat, just so you know, if you go back to Waffle Party, that's the picture.
It's one of them. Yeah.
That's one of them wearing a goat head. And it looks like Kier's going to like sever the goat head person. Maybe that's an innuendo, but carry on because I have a theory on this goat guy too.
Okay. So I don't know what the goats are. No idea. My main thing with the goat guy is he's got to be one of the people that never leaves. Because imagine if you're the person on the outside with that job. You go to work in a fucking suit. You handle goats all day. You come home smelling like God knows what. You got to be like, what the fuck do I do all day? I got white hair all over me and I smell like shit. That must be a wild job.
Yeah, my theory, yes. My theory on the goats are two. The goats themselves, I wonder, has something to do with the dead people.
Oh.
If there's some sort of cloning technique.
Storing them, yeah.
Yeah, something to do with cloning and using these goats, and especially baby goats. There's also sacrificial lambs, as they say, but like sacrificial goats has also been, especially in the Bible. Yep, scapegoat, there's a good one. So I wonder if there's something to do with like using Gemma as an example, or Miss, I was going to say Miss Tracy, but what's her name in the show again?
Miss Casey.
Miss Casey. Thank you. That like maybe obviously she did die, but if they get to the body in a certain amount of time before whatever, like you can use
they
a goat.
The brain there.
And yeah. Like something sacrificing the goat using goat blood. I don't know. My theory with why the guy was so upset and they're not ready yet. And he was so like bent out of shape is. Heliar, as we know her at this point, we don't realize she's an Egan.
Yeah.
So she knows about Lumen. She probably is some form of like a Stephanie McMahon to Vince McMahon, if you will. Yeah. So like she comes in a room, people know her, or she's been around the WWE office, just like I'm sure Heli's been around Lumen. Maybe she looked around there. So maybe she's part of her duties or time spent there has been taking the goats or something or being witness to the goats being taken. So when this guy sees her, like you said, he's only witnessed the face. Like he doesn't recognize that she's now not in the same mind space. He sees her and quickly gets emotional. Like, no, they're not ready. Like this is all this man does is probably just poor thing. Just
goats
tends to goats all day in a weird room. And again, what a strange, this whole thing is so strange. Like down a corridor, down the left, through of an office, man, some goats. Like, it's just bizarre, but like bizarrely awesome at the same time. That's what I love about this show.
So another person I want to tackle real quick, and you know, we can have all the theories. It's clear that the pregnant woman is severed. She even admits to it kind of with her senator husband or whatever. The thing I want to know is how long for the pregnancy is she severed? right? Because is it the whole pregnancy? Probably not all 9 months. It's probably when it gets difficult. Maybe, I don't know what that is exactly, 5, 6, 7, 8 months. But you saw Heliar wake up. And I think that'll be another really good thing that they can play with in season two. I wouldn't mind a whole episode on Gemma, and I wouldn't mind a whole episode divided up on Irv B, Mark S, and Dylan waking up for the first time and them getting calmed down. I think that would be pretty cool to see their first day at Lumen as a flashback, and you could give away stuff so it wouldn't just be like, you know, people hated like the Nikki and Paolo episodes and all that kind of stuff. I think if you, now with all of that hindsight, like the Stranger Things one, which I thought was still pretty good, you can make those episodes cool. But for me, it's like, imagine her response to waking up as a pregnant woman with no memory.
So first of all, I have no idea what that would be like. My guess with her is that it's not me. So there's two. One's messed up. So he's a senator, right? Like, he's a big deal. Hmm? This woman could be a severed relationship.
That's the other thing too.
Like, maybe he, that's
be just like snapping her in a sex slave or whatever. That,
that's what I'm saying. And like, but like the fact that, like, the thing I don't understand, and we don't know much about these chips, like, there's so much that the story can go. And I think you and Keith mentioned this, and this is the only hope I have, that there isn't, and like Lost, I will always say, I think we both agree, like, it is one of the greatest shows of all time. It had so much greatness, but they didn't really have a clear, specific, and times were different on television then. It was on ABC. But like, they didn't have that, like, here's exactly how it's going to end, and here's what it's all going to look like, and we're going to spiral everything down that funnel and get there. A show like this, I just hope they have that. And I realistically hope it's like a 4 to 5 season maximum.
And I'm hoping it's 3. Because like,
it doesn't seem like that's not enough though, right? Like, with all the things you can go down.
Well, because the candle's pretty lit right at the end of this season, because Heliar can be kind of kicked away, like, oh, she was just joking around, oh, this was a stunt, whatever. Even like, and it was only people who supported them, so that kind of goes away. Bert G and Irv B, still nothing. And Dylan's the safest of them all, because he still has no recollection on the outside that any of this has happened. Only his innie knows it, so they're only in danger of him inside. But Mark was there with his sister, told her the whole story, and then before he is snapped out, he is able to show a picture of Gemma to his sister that, hey, this girl is alive in there. So then he's going to be talking back and forth, you know, saying like, your innie, now that he's the outie, has all this shit going on. Like, that's going to make it like, I wouldn't go back to work. Would you?
No, that, so that's the thing.
Well, and maybe I would, because she's alive. Wanna,
yeah. And, but like, how much does that blend continue though? Like, I think that's what's going to be interesting. And like, that was also confusing, but like, how did he know as soon as he got snapped back? His first thought is, she's alive.
No. He got snapped back
right after he said it. Sorry, because that was hidden. You're right. Oh, yeah, that's going to be bizarre. And then they're like, what are you talking about? Yeah, that's going to be a whole thing. And Miss Cobell, too, like, her tie-in with all this. And, like, here's the other thing. We talked to you guys talked about in the other podcast. Like, the brother-in-law being, like, a buffoon in his eyes is an outie. And, like, almost like another cult hero. But here's the fascinating part. If you notice, who are these freaks at this party?
So that's another theory that I kicked around early on, that they were severed people because they find him so endearing. But I think that might not be the case. I had another theory about like the high piano keys signaling severed people on the outside, because they did it a few times.
Interesting. But,
and they did it around them too. So I
they did. But here's the crazy part. The black gentleman who finds the baby isn't just like, oh, hey, here's your daughter. Like, I found her. I did it. Like,
he wants a finger trap.
Yeah. But like, exactly. So I'm like, why is he so like, and it's like, does the sister have any, not that she would have much more to this, but I don't know. There could be a whole, it could also be like the whole family gets in on these things. And the brother-in-law is maybe one of the most dumb people ever. Like,
I love him though. I think
that's the best part. He's so naive. Like, you know, a lot of people in your
life. I think his writing is very good though. Like, a couple of them, like, they start off funny, and then a few of the things, no, they all make sense. They really do. It's all actually pretty clever stuff that he says.
It's like simplistically done. I think that's what's
hilarious. But it is, but it's in a way I've never heard it put before.
So you're severed is what you're saying.
I mean, I think they do the hamburger waiter stuff, and like the, Mozart was a murderer. Like they set him up as a goof, but like the details once you get inside are actually pretty good.
Well, he's going to clearly play. Like, I think what's going to happen with him, I don't think this is necessarily like a deeper meeting. I think he's going to find out that they think his words are like gospel down there.
Oh, and yeah. He's going to try to get it.
And I think, yeah, I think it's going to become a whole thing right there.
The only other like nit that I had to pick with this show,
yeah,
really one of the only ones, is Mark's sister seems so put together and like such a badass. Like, she would like her and Rickon seem like the odd pair. But
that's also, Bill, sometimes what makes you different makes you great.
It's true.
Man. Or maybe she just wanted to get married and she was older. Some people, yeah, you know, Bill, some lady's going to pick you up one day, put you in your pocket, and she's going to be like, boom. But in all, like, I agree with you on, like, little things like that. I think there's just so much to the show. There's so many little things. And I, like I said, like, this isn't a theory, but I just really hope they know where they're going with that. So like, I hope they know what those numbers being trashed are. Like, I love the idea of it being dates in their lives that they're trying to basically like take out. That's fantastic. But I do think like what we're going to figure out too is like, when did the chip come into play? Cause this is Kier that's been going on for a long time.
So Jane said he brings the first one home to Helly when she's little.
Yes.
So maybe 25 years if she's 30. Cause I think they reference her being 30.
Also, that was the other big part of Miss Cobell, like how she didn't announce why that she tried to kill herself and why she got fired, because we find out how important she was. And like, why did she sweep that under the rug like it was nothing, you know? Like,
because she probably would have got fired then, maybe.
I guess. And then like, is she fired? Like, the whole thing is like, they told her like she's on permanent leave or some, like the way they
suspended, you're fired. I think. It's like, are you suspended or are you fired?
Yeah. So I, very interesting.
That's why I think, and also this is a point I think I made maybe in person to somebody. Like, you don't let somebody like that who has all that info go unless they're tied somehow.
Or
you either have control or she is like a bastard child of the Egans. And the other thing too, like when you're watching her watch Mark and Gemma, she wants it to work. She wants them to remember each other. She brings in the candle.
Yes.
She's trying to do it because that leads me to my theory that she has someone that she's trying to like connect with, severed. So I think she's hoping that there's a trigger there. And that's why she was a little pissed. And then what's his name? Milchick went, no, it's a good thing. And you can see her being like, but the first time I saw it, I didn't like you. It's like,
yeah,
they do such a great job of hiding how deep it could be.
Yeah, I think here's my question. So do you think Milchick is also a guy that lives there all the time?
I don't think he lives there. I think he does go home. But again, I think he's working under duress. Maybe the woman who killed fixed Petey or, you know, what reintegrated Petey. Maybe they're somehow related. Like maybe one is like, you know, somebody in his family that like got out of it or something. I think there's something to Milchick. There has to be more to meets the eye for him. And to just throw in his name so randomly and it to be, you know, Seth and be appointed, I think that was purposefully done. I don't know. But like, I think a show like this, like you were saying, everything is pretty well thought out.
Oh yeah. Like I said,
like names and like little things they leave in. Like there's nothing left to chance in this show.
No, I at least you hope not, because then that would really stink. Which you just said something that sparked a thought, and I had another theory on something, but now it slipped me a little bit. Oh, the one thing about, you know, obviously Petey, going back to him, like his episode is actually probably one of the most rewatchable because he says so much that means so much. But when you're watching it as episode like 3, I'm like, I even thought that happened too soon. I was almost gonna text you, but I'm like, yeah, you know too much. But like, I felt like the reveal of Petey and all, I'm like, this is happening too soon. But in reality, when looking at it from a whole, it happened at the perfect time.
It's kind of weird too, because I've seen it now 3 times, I think. And the more you watch it, the like you pick up something a little different every single time. But I think the thing is, the first like 2.5 episodes take place over a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of it is kind of like maybe 3 or 4 days. Because there's the time, whenever Helly hangs herself, there's a few days that pass by.
Yes.
I don't know when that happens exactly. It like the show like melds together so quickly because of the way they do it. It's in two places.
Yeah. So that also makes me think of Helly. So there's one like weird Easter egg thing, and I saw this one and it fascinated me. So Helly remember when Mark is driving? I think it was Helly's first day. Mm-hmm. And he's leaving and he almost hits her.
Yeah.
And she says, watch the icy road.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, watch out, right? Yeah, like, yeah, watch on this icy road. Makes me believe clearly. I think Mark and Gemma were in obviously a car accident because we see, yeah, a lot of references to that.
Oh, she knows about the car accident.
So I think there's something because she is now outside.
Oh, yeah. Because I think there is like Miss Casey is a guinea pig for the whole company because when they send her away, she says, send her back to the testing floor.
So here's where I think. So I think he was in the car when she died. I think they died on an icy road. They know this.
Oh, you think he was in the car when she died?
I do. I think he is very well, like, that's why I think it's even harder for him. So I think this is like a real effed up situation.
I didn't even think of that.
So when she said that, it made me think, because then watching it again, this is a rewatch part, and like I saw this on like a YouTube, and I said, huh. Because she says it so specifically, she knows that he.
She killed. Also says it like, "Don't you think you should watch the road?" Basically,
yeah,
like not too. Like, "Hey, buddy, watch the fuck out."
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
She knows on the outside that Mark's in there severed with his wife, and then when she's on the inside, she has no fucking clue.
Exactly.
That's a pretty good theory.
So I think that's where it comes from. So that's why I think Gem, Miss Casey, and then they get rid of her because I think you notice they get rid of her once. Miss Cobell is no longer in charge, who seemed like she was trying to do something like you were alluding to. Mm. She's fired. They're like, Miss Casey, we got to get rid of her. Like, she needs to go away because maybe they were starting to see everything kind of like, we don't want them to be interacting that much. So she goes back to that floor, which Petey on his note has like living there. He has like a note somewhere. And again, this is all, I don't give a crap. If you've never seen Lost, watch it because that is such the freaking... like the fail safe. What was that called? Now I can't even think of it because I'm so much about Severance. What was the map on the back of the hatch, you know, in the hatch, that wall? Wasn't that called something?
Oh, I forget exactly.
But like, anyways.
In Lockdown, right?
Yeah, Lockdown. That whole map, like that is exactly what this is. Like there's so many references. But going back to Dylan as a part, like the best I wanted, and we talked about this right before we came on, I almost wish in a weird way, that there was only 8 episodes and that the season ended with Dylan firing off the protocol, because that was if I was watching this week to week, which I'm pissed in a way I didn't, because that
I would have watched it like Lost. I would have watched.
Oh, absolutely. I would have watched it like 3 times.
I would have watched it like watching it the third time with subtitles on. You pick up a lot of stuff.
Sure. That finale is one of the most, I remember being like, cause it was so late when me and my wife had watched it, and I fall asleep like 4 times during the episode. And I said, we can't watch the finale yet, but like, I so wanted to.
Yeah.
It's like, it was,
well, they so one up themselves
every time
continually. And it was like, it seemed like it was going to be impossible. And then the way that they cut together the last episode, I know we both feel like, oh, you didn't really want to see Irv, but I think Irv is going to play, I think, a huge role. And there's a couple of things that set along the way where, Petey mentions the thing, you know, you're my very good friend in there.
Yes.
I'm your best friend. At one point when they see the book with Mark's name, Irv goes, keep flipping through, see if my name's in there.
Hmm.
So maybe I think Keith had that theory that maybe one of the other people is his actual best friend in the office, because he does go in his dream, go have a little repartee with Irv too. Mm-hmm. So they just do such a great job of connecting everything. I already mentioned in the other podcast that The Inside is probably one of the most cleanly, crisply, brightly shot things you'll ever see. And then The Outside at times, it's like a fucking Game of Thrones episode. Like the battle one where you can't see a goddamn thing. So, I mean, it's the contrasting things. So Helly's name, Helena, means light. Like, mm-hmm. like it's used in, you know, a bunch of literature stuff. And Kier actually means the dark one.
Mm.
So, I mean, maybe she's trying, like maybe she's going to be the one to bring to light how awful this is. But clearly on the outside, she's kind of a C word. Because one, she's all about it. Two, I'm really on board with your theory now that she knew Mark and that they're really just fucking with this guy to no end. Like, imagine that. Imagine you being in a car accident with your wife and then your severed self goes to work with her every day and you don't know.
And when
you know how much peace that might actually kind of give him if he knew that inside, that he's at least with his wife at times?
Maybe there is something there. I don't. Yeah, that's where it's going to get real interesting. They did say the one thing that Ben Stiller has come out, and I forget some of the other producers of the show.
I don't want to know anything definitively, by the way.
This isn't necessarily definitively. There's nothing big here. I'm not going to. There's no spoiler. It's not even. I don't even think they're filming. But they said that they're going to focus more on the Audis.
Okay, so that's fine.
I
think they're going to have to, because I don't know how they let Mark back in.
Like, the innings are going to be wild. Like, if they, like, you're right, because it's almost irreversible what the four of them now know.
Yeah. And then once they all get back in there, they'll be able to tell Dylan, too.
Oh, yeah. And Dylan, don't forget, like, he knows he has a kid. And he's, remember when he just bit Mildred? Like,
fucking great.
Psychopath.
I want to know my fucking kid's name.
He was something. He might also be a quiet MVP because he was just so much fun to watch.
I mean, everybody, even Bert G's fucking is like,
oh my god. When the whole the other thing that made that show great is, like, it's probably not going to mean anything later, but the scene when Dylan and Irv go to see Bert G and he's in that room after they witness the pictures of, like, the change. Yeah. He's like, don't trust him, man. Like, he's going to try to kill you. Like, don't go in there. Why is he in this room? And all, like, he's like, oh, I was just coming to see you. Like,
I was it working was very out a joke.
Yeah, and that was great. And I don't remember it. Oh, Christopher Walken, like, what? I thought that was going to be a one-off, like, one-time.
Oh, me too. I thought you were just going to see him for a second, never come back, and he winds up being probably, besides Rickon and the sister, like, the other main side characters.
Yeah. There's only really – and that's the other thing. I think this show is great. We can kind of wrap on this unless you have any other real theories. But, like, I think the great part about the show, it's not a large cast, and it's not – it's hard to understand – because we don't know what's going on, but it's not hard to follow.
No.
Like, it's
totally. There's so much deep meaning poured into this, but
sure.
Even if you took it at a surface level, it's a great show to enjoy. Like, that's why I like this, and I think you'll enjoy this too. They are putting Lost Experience type stuff out there. So you can download booklets and read, like, Here and Severance type stuff. I haven't done that. I didn't do that with really Lost either, because I try to experience this, like, like one of the college books I read, and see if how much I can garner myself before it's over, and then I look at it all. But it really is just from a filmmaking perspective too. I don't want to sound too douchey, but from a person who does video work and was an English major, this really tickles my fancy at all ends.
No, I'm with you. Going back to Lost, I was all in on that. Like, mm-hmm. Gorillas and Sprite commercials and going to websites. I was
on the message boards.
Oh, message boards. That's the one thing about, like, this show that I like. I know there's Reddit and I've seen, but, like, this during the week to week process must have been lit.
Bananas.
It must have been so much fun. So I'm already looking forward to when season two does come out. My guess, just knowing the way television now is run and the contracts they probably signed, it'll probably come out maybe this time next year. Maybe
2023. Yeah.
That's my guess, just because obviously, like, Adam Scott, at least, obviously, and, you know, I don't know what Christopher Walken, all these people have other jobs and millions of things they can do. John Turturro as well. But, like, I have a feeling they'll, like, I'm assuming if it's another nine, like, how long does that take to film if they have everything written?
3 weeks, yeah, 4 weeks? I've never worked on a real TV show.
It's three, 4 weeks, I'm guessing, for, like, a nine episode.
Oh, no, probably
less.
No, more.
I think they make some. Well, I guess you're right, because that's 9 hours.
This is like HBO level. This is that's probably like
four months. Yeah.
4 or 5 months.
And they're going to rewrite. And this is the one thing about television that, you know, I don't know if other podcasts talk about, which I always find fascinating when you learn. Like, they script out the show. Like, obviously, duh, they have script writers. But then, like, when they're in the midst of filming, they'll change things because they'll watch it be performed. Like, they'll watch their, like, words turn to art. And then, like, oh, we're changing all that to now this. Just from watching, like, the raw actors do their job, which I think is super fascinating.
I mean, we do that with, like, 30-second stuff.
But yeah, like, exactly, right? Like, any time of, like, video editing with directors and writers and producers, like,
genius happens in the moment, man.
It really, and, like, once you see, like, okay, we wrote this, we did this, this is the movement. But then once you see the people do it, you're like, we're changing it. And I just think that's so fascinating. So, like again, wrestling, like, half the podcasts I listen to, I like to listen to, like, what an original plans were set in, like, to be, but then the way the story played out, or the way a match happened, or the way those two connected, it turned everything.
Last thing really quick too is the way that they shoot it too, and the way that they shoot the elevator where their face morphs, that is done all in camera. So basically, if you shoot somebody with a 16 millimeter lens, it looks like you took a picture and you stretched it in. And then when you go to 200 millimeters, it looks like you stretched it out. And about right around 85 to 100 is the best way to naturally, that's like almost the curve of your eye. So that's how you would see normally. So what they do is they just take the millimeters, they crush them in, and they move the frame at the same time to keep them in the same spot. It is fucking crazy. And I think they probably film it at like standard focal lengths while they're in there to kind of give them a little bit of a different appearance. Like Mark's face is a little fatter, I think, on the outside.
Yes.
And then versus the inside. So it's a very cool thing that they did. And then just the way that they shoot around the fucking hallways is insanely cool. Like all those camera cuts where they're like walking at you, turn the corner, and then they're coming the other way. It's unbelievable.
Like rats in a maze. Mm-hmm.
But that's the other thing. It's clearly made to be like, you know, fucking Flowers for Algernon. They're literally in a fucking maze. They're in like the over the top. Like there's probably a viewing room where you look at it like a mouse maze. I guarantee it.
What would you give this out of 11?
11. For first season, 11. I'm an easy grader and
research. Yeah, you are. I would say the show itself is a 10 out of 11. The theories and the fact that like there's like mythology makes it an 11 out of 11. Yeah. It hit my chords, dude. This has Lost vibes. This has like every like show that I love, like even like stuff like Sopranos, stuff like that. There's just like the drama with inside the show as well. But there's so many layers to this. It's just there's so much to talk about. There's so much to get into. And we hit like 40 different things here, and we could go on for another hour with two other people and get like another 100 things. So if for whatever reason, if you listen to this entire podcast and you've yet to watch it, it's literally worth your time. And
you could still watch it and have a blast.
Oh yeah. I'm very rarely say, hey, this is worth your time, because most of my time is spent watching wrestling and in like Ozark right now that I'm trying to squeeze in here and there. But like, there is not a lot of stuff that I think is truly worth your time. Severance is definitely one of those. Bill, I got three things.
All right, get them off your mind.
First is Netflix. Dead.
Why?
Because we just talked 40-plus minutes about Severance. That show was released week to week. That buzz built up in that time. Ozark, people, it is Tuesday, May 3rd as we're recording this, the year of our Lord 2022. Ozark was released on Friday. I'm guessing most of the people that really wanted to watch this have already seen the whole thing.
What, Ozark?
Yeah, like it just drops. Here's seven episodes. Watch them all. I think that is I think now that has been it's over. I think the binge watch, not like you can't go back and watch old things binge style. I think current shows binging is over. I think you need to bring back, we've talked about this since I think the launch of Pop Culture Pile Driver, that week to week makes things events. It builds, it gathers fans. Like if, let's just use the Keith, how you watched it. Like if that was after 2 weeks in and he was peppering, like, you guys watching this? Have you seen this? And like, we both looked at him like, oh, it's two episodes. Like, yeah, it's worth it. Let me see. Mm-hmm. And then you caught on, and then the rest of the guys and the DSG and then listeners and then people outside, that like you build an audience that way. You build like something huge. We're always
on. A lot of cooler talk.
Yeah. I'm definitely afraid. I barely am on Twitter because I'm scared of seeing something about how it all ends. And I'm like, I don't know. It bothers me. And I think Netflix is hemorrhaging money. They're canceling shows left and right. We talked about it last week, but I think this is like the death of the mass release seasons.
I mean, I did really enjoy WandaVision week to week, and it was kind of like this. It had
all of the Disney shows. Number one had just dropped them. What did we went? You know, WandaVision. You had.
Well, it's the best way to do it too, because you're going to get people on your platform for longer because they have to hold it for more than a few weeks.
Bingo. You like right now, if you wanted to watch Ozark, you could have signed up on Friday. Yeah, I think you have to pay for the month, but you're canceled by now. Like, you don't even care. It's just foolish.
You do what I do with a lot of subscriptions is sign up and cancel that day because you get it for the whole month. And then you don't forget.
Well, let me know if there's any of the ones I'm leeching onto. Dark Side of the Ring, Bill, there were some rumors. Excellent show.
I've seen the first two seasons fully.
Oh, season three. Well, season three has a lot of repetitive things, but
very hard to come out on, I think it's
Hulu. Yeah, Hulu. So there was a rumor that came out last week that the two creators, I think it's Evan and Jason, don't quote me there, were going to be working with WWE and $7 production by The Rock. Happy belated birthday, by the way, our guy. Oh, I got a Rock story. Remind me in legit like a minute. It's actually a bombshell. But Dark Side of the Ring is working with $7 to do like an AWA or I think something like that, a Territories series with WWE Network. So people started to believe, well, if they're working with WWE Network and look at all the backlash, look at what their content is Dark Side of the Ring. Everyone's like, oh, they're bad stories about WWE. Mm-hmm. Like, or people involved there. So they came out today, Vice came out and said there will be a season 4. They're working on it. So a lot of people believe like it was done, like the show was over. And they also have a whole Dark Side series. I don't know if you've ever watched any Dark Side of the 90s or Dark Side of Football.
No.
No, not bad. Some of them. Dark Side of the 90s is a little better than Dark Side of Football. Like Dark Side of Football is like there's a Belichick episode, an Ocho Cinco episode. It's a little stretchy to me, but that's all good stuff. Real quick, The Rock. Remember when we did our episode on the best Rock promos?
Yeah.
The Rock watched that for at least a moment.
Did he really?
I have to send this to you. Your personal best friend, huge fan of the podcast, Adam Kaufman,
yep,
sent me a text randomly and said, hey, some guy who used to watch the Madden stream sent me this. And it's just a screenshot of us. And you know how, like, if you watch on Twitter, you can see who's watching. Like, it says he's joined. The Rock joined that.
Oh,
so nice. For just one second, we're going to make a bigger deal about this next week. And I've been meaning to do this for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, we went one-on-one with the great one.
We went one-on-one with the great one. So there's a lot of things that Dork and Mac and Goo and Change My Mind, maybe, and some other podcasts can say and do. But we had the goddamn Rock watch us. Even if it was for 1 second, he saw our faces and heard us. We were probably talking, about some dumb shit in the beginning. And he was like, what is this?
Yep.
But that was really cool that he joined. Like, that blew my mind.
That's and banana,
makes it worth what we do because you never know.
Yeah.
And then very last thing, Bill, Mother's Day is this week. Shout out to all the DSG moms, Goo's wife, Keefe's wife, Davey's wife. All big listeners of the show, big fans. We are the number one wife program in the DSG of the DSG. Obviously my wife, who, by the way, I didn't say
Doc's this wife.
Who's that?
Doc.
Oh, Doc. There it is. Now I'm on Doc's crap side. Yes. Doc's wife, any Mac and use randoms.
Potential that, you wives, know, are,
yeah. Just, you know, not even wives, just baby mamas. Shout out to all the baby mamas out there. And yeah, and their mama's mama. Happy Mother's Day to your mom, my mom, but to my wife, happy Mother's Day coming up. You know what I'm doing on Mother's Day for her?
No.
Got tickets unknowingly for WWE Backlash because I had FOMO after WrestleMania.
Oh, in Rhode Island?
In Rhode Island. Had no idea it was on Mother's Day, so now turning that into a thing.
All right.
So she's coming down with me down to Rhode Island. But we were talking about her maybe a half an hour before we started this. She would be the person who needs to be severed. My wife is a freak show about her job.
Really?
She sucks. Like, I love her to death, but she absolutely blows. Like, work, she takes it all too serious. It's been something that's, I don't know, something ticked there. So, like, if I could just, hit a button, she comes back and, like, I never have to hear her talk about her work or, like, hear her grunts or stress. She's probably upstairs right now on a laptop. So, and it's way past bedtime for our household. Yeah. But,
well, that might be even worse because she might have never leave work. The other quick thing, last thing about severances. Like, if she'd been pregnant 3 times, that means when she's severed, she's missing key moments of her kids' lives that she can't take with her when she...
I forgot that was her third kid because they talk about that in that scene. Mm-hmm. Her whole life's probably severed, dude. Here's weird.
You're going to find out a lot of people are out there severed.
I could see the show absolutely sucking in about 2 seasons. I could see them doing something like... So the thing with Heroes, just to make a weird correlation, Heroes was an awesome show because it was like... You thought everything was like, there's like one millionth percent of people that are heroes. Then as the show developed, everybody had a hero or a superpower or a villain. And I was like, oh, it's too much. That's a weird thing. I have a feeling like maybe like Cobell is like deeply severed. And then it's like Milja just severed through it. And it's like, that could be too much. That's my worry. That's my one little worry that like season 3, we find out like everybody is and it's way too deep and it's too much and it gets silly.
Or... Because Milchek has that like sunny, weird disposition. It could just be like because he's just a fucking amazing actor and like really that kind of guy in there. But maybe those weird people at the party were severed people who like got to the point in macro data refinement or something that they like were like, all right, you can go now and just be a regular person because we've eliminated all of the things. I don't know. There's so many different things that it could be, but I'm very excited for season two. I want a Just Gemma episode, and I want like an origin stories for all of them episode.
It's like we didn't segue to something else. What else? What anything else you've been watching, listening to, dancing?
I tried to pick up Ozark again a couple of times. It's just so slow. It's good. Every episode I've watched is good, but it's just painfully slow. Painfully slow. They have a lot of shots where somebody's just sitting there looking. But it's not even like an interesting shot. I'm just like, all right. You're looking out of the water.
I love the show personally. I think there's so much good to it, and like there's nice story arcs and stuff.
I just hate the wife, by the way.
Everybody hates women. That's the problem.
I don't hate women. I hate her. I love the crazy fucking girl.
Ruth?
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she is fantastic. I just always notice there's a trend that people hate strong women.
No, Ruth is the strongest fucking girl in the show.
I know. All right, strong wives. Strong wives.
No, I'm a Skyler guy.
Oh, you are? Okay, good. Because I feel
and,
like...
And in the last season, what's her name? Hank's wife is fucking great, too. In the last
season. She was great the whole time.
She was kind of funny the whole time, man.
But I will say that is just something I've noticed in television. And it's almost like WWE. Like, they have trouble booking baby faces. I think people have a tough time accepting, like... Because at the end of the day, like, Walter White is the bad guy. Skyler's correct. I know she almost cheats on him, so that's a little... We don't have to get into that.
She does cheat on him.
Oh, yeah. She did sail the deal, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, she says it like twice, and good to Jesse at the table, and that's when you have the great gif of him drinking the water.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. When are we gonna get that spinoff series of Breaking Bad? Not obviously, I know we have Better Call Saul with just Junior. I just want Junior.
Eating breakfast with Skyler.
That's it.
That was the funniest meme ever.
That is like 45 minutes just that, but eat breakfast. If you can and you dive in, I think you'll enjoy it. Again, I have no idea how the show ends. All I heard on Dork was that it's like, yeah. And every show ends that way. No shows end well. So yeah, we'll see how that one ends. But so now, like post-Severance, is there another show? Is there something else you're looking forward to? Is there movies? Obviously, we got Multiverse of Madness coming out.
Strange Saturday, but I also want to see the Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. And then the other one with somebody told me it's the kid with the goot from the Goonies, isn't it? Like what, the other big movie that's out now that I think Max already loved too.
I don't know. I'm bad with most movies right now. I'm like TV shows or I don't even know what.
The Northerner looks pretty good too.
Yeah.
Oh, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Everything
looks really good.
Oh, is that the like almost like I don't know if it's Japanese or Chinese and like things are like wacky going through like brains and crazy
it's
stuff.
It's like a sci-fi animation type thing.
Yeah, that does look good. That we saw that. Didn't we see the trailer for that when we saw Scream?
I think so, yes.
I think so too. Anyways, all right, anything else? Anything else you need to get off that cranium of yours?
Shared Gooniverse.
All right, so Mac and Goo, as always, did the 1989 classic Aliens. Dork reviewed the first Doctor Strange movie, CMC, Talkie Equipment, Pineapple Boys, Pineapple, and TLDR Talked Books. The streamers are Backcracker and Shime on Twitch, and then the Dork Boys stream over on the YouTubes.
And also a shout-out, we never really said this, but shout-out to Fryer. Got engaged.
Yeah. Well, him and the lady friend at a bookstore.
Yes.
A library.
But no, I thought like, you know, it's funny. You know, I'm world famous for my voice messages, right, Bill?
Oh my God. Yours actually was very nice. Fryer also world famous for his voice messages.
So me and him have voice messaged before. My fear is when I send voice messages, sometimes they don't get heard. Like I sent you one, doesn't matter about the context of it. I'm just saying. And then you responded the next day and I'm like, thank God. Okay. Got it. Cause sometimes you worry. Cause there is the thing. If you see it, and you go away from it and you don't hit keep, it goes away.
It's gone. Yeah.
So I sent Fryer one when I found out, but I've never heard back from him. So I'm like, at this point, like, it just made me think of it. I'm like, maybe I should text him again, or at this point, whatever. Like, it is what it is. So maybe he'll hear this, maybe he won't. But it's out there in the ether. It's on the internet of a YouTube video and a podcast. But anyways, that'll do it for us, Bill. So here's something that needs to happen. And I have been so bad. Because we've talked about this, like build an arcade. And next week really is the perfect week to do it.
Let's do it.
Either next week or the week after. We'll have to get everybody obviously rallied quickly. Because with Dork doing a live podcast, it's just a good time to content share.
Yeah. Promote. So, get shit out there.
either that or the week after. Maybe I'll try to push it to see if we can do like next Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that. Because there, by the way, if you do want to hang out, they'll be doing that on the 15th, I believe, of May. That's Sunday.
And then with Mac and Goo, and then Mac and Goo is doing Seinfeld trivia the 11th. No, Wednesday the 11th.
Oh. So this is all like a couple days, Idle Hands and Malden. So go check them out. Bring your Spite bucks. Bring your Spite dollars. And spread them around. Spread them around to the good peoples. But yeah, so we should figure that out and then in real soon. Real soon, because that could be a lot of fun. And I think the one thing too, when we do the voting on that, is you don't say this is the Dork one, this is the Mac and Goo one, this is the CMC, this is
the arcade up.
Just put the arcade and you pick which one do you think is best.
Yeah, and then lastly, I'm now the only one of the former tag team champions not to have the current WWE 2K. Because Davey and Keith now have it.
I've heard. You know how they got it, Bill? So,
well, they had their coffers up.
The one thing I will say is it doesn't take 6 hours to create a character, but it does. It's not quick because it's very thorough.
I would perfect my moveset.
Yeah, I truly believe if you get it, and I think you can cross-platform play online. I'm pretty sure that's a big part of this. And that's like one of the updates they just did to make sure there was a lot of bugs.
Because Keith doesn't have a PS5, does he?
I don't know. I have an Xbox Series X. Oh, okay. I have a Switch. And that's it. But I have it for Xbox, and it's the story. It's everything. It's just so fun. It's there's nothing better than picking up
a wrestling game done right. It's fucking fantastic.
It really, and it's because it's not like even like Madden's or basketball or baseball, whatever games, like those could be like 45 minutes to an hour of like just a single game. Mm-hmm. This is like you can get through like tons of stuff in that time period. But yeah, I highly recommend. Maybe if people want, Bill, maybe they can send you a buck.
No.
How about this? If people show that they're donating to the One Mission Buzz Off, I'll buy Bill the game.
No, I can buy the game. If I mean people want to throw me, I'll just buy it with my that's chunky profits.
Hold on a second. So wait. You could buy a game, Bill? What are you, an adult with a job?
No, I don't want to get into this whole thing.
Is that what you're saying, Bill? You're an adult with a job that can
I mean, if somebody wants to buy it for me, fucking please, William-Delaney-7. Send it over.
Tweet it. We'll put it on the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Spite bucks to Billy. Spite bucks to everybody. Since everybody's just
I'm all for free shit. Are you kidding me? You know how many DraftKings shirts I have that I work out in? All of them. Like 25 DraftKings shirts.
Oh, that was the best. That's the best part about like that stuff. Remember back, you know what? This actually does make me a little sad. Remember when were you part of the craze when I used to get all the video games?
No, I never got lucky. That was your those were your lackey crew. You would give them away.
No. This was like when we worked at Living
the Apartment. Oh, no. I wasn't in the Rossi Circle of Trust then.
No, I've never been out of the Circle of Trust. My guess is, didn't play, like, we got like,
I wasn't really Island. Playing video games then.
Yeah, like,
I remember I sold my PlayStation for $50 to take somebody on a date.
You know what's crazy about that? I bet you that exact PlayStation 1 or 2.
Might have been 3.
Okay, so let's say PlayStation 3, you sold for $50. Right now, I bet you would buy it for more.
Yeah,
it's crazy how like I went to a GameStop.
I also pooped my pants. I think for $85.
It's a good profit. Yeah. I would do that. That's one of the better things you've ever.
It was
done.
Controlled. It was controlled. It was in a shower. It was in a shorts.
Yeah, I would do that. Like I pooped my pants for free several times.
I actually might have been for like $125.
Yeah, I think you kept raising it up. Like that's one of the things I think both of us are really good at is getting the money to keep going up to the point where people like you do something stupid that nobody else will do. And then you just cash in. Mm-hmm. Like I've done some really dumb things at like bar, like people pour all the drinks in one drink.
Cat
like,
food almost threw up.
What? Oh, you can't. That's right. But how much did you get off of that?
It might've been 90.
Oh Jesus. I would have done it. See, my thing is I undercut. Like if that was happening, I would have said, all right, I'll do it for 80.
Yeah. It's essentially like asking for money on Venmo, I guess.
It is in a weird way, but it's among
we're giving friends. You something for free. And
no, but you're doing something. Time. There's an action in return.
You have to do a podcast.
Encourage the dork guys, the dork boys, the jerks to do a Patreon. Encourage them, listener, that you're clearly not listening at this point. So I really could say anything.
Was the only reason you listened to the episode is because...
I always usually listen to the beginning of their episodes, unless I literally have... Like, I didn't listen to the card one. But I normally listen to everybody's because I want to make sure everyone gets a listen. Like, I know they don't necessarily need my listen, but I think that's just like the least I can do. So when things pop up in my feed, hit play.
I listen because I like them all.
Well, yeah. No, and that's not, that goes, I thought, without saying. Like, I genuinely, like, I've told you many times. Changed My Mind was like running podcasts for me for like a 3-week span when they did their sequel versus other one. Like those are my favorites by those guys. But yeah, always hit play on any of the podcasts. Most like every podcast that I have a subscription to, I do that too. Cause I just like, well, that's the point of having it. And then it reminds me to go back to it. Mm-hmm. That's it. But we're going to get the hell out of here. This is a hell of a week. Who knew? Who knew we could go so deep into Severance? Who knew it would be so much fun? Check it out. Be a friend. Tell a friend about the show. Leave a 5-star review. Do something nice for somebody else. Don't be a jerk. It costs $0 to be nice. And Bill, any final words for the fine folks?
On the biscuit.
Frank says hi.